Hello and welcome to In the Booth on Sportsnet 650, your official home of the Vancouver Canucks. I'm Brendan Batchelor, joined by Randeep Janda. And Randeep, the Canucks season wrapped up. The players met the media. Rick Tocchet met with the media. Management met with the media. We did our last show and we said, you know, maybe we'll do an emergency podcast at some point during the offseason if big Canucks news breaks. And here we are, what, 10 days later, and we're already doing our first emergency podcast with the news that Rick Tocchet will not be back as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
That's right. We lied. We're back, and we wish it was for better news, but that's the reality, Batch.
And before we get into everything, we do have to remind you that In the Booth is brought to you by Bells and Whistles.
Catch all the action, hockey, football, soccer, and more with Happy Hour Pints for $6.75. 3296 Fraser Street, just off Kingsway, right in the Fraser Hood. And here's the thing, Batch. I think our listeners will appreciate this. When I heard the Rick Tocchet news, I was actually at Bells and Whistles.
You were watching Arsenal lose in their Champions League match against PSG, weren't you?
I saw that Elliot tweet while I was drowning myself in a very nice lunch and a coffee at Bells and Whistles, but yes.
Yeah, a coffee, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So the news came out yesterday. The hockey club announced, and Elliot Friedman broke it first, you're right, but then shortly afterwards, the hockey club announced that Rick Tocchet would not be back as the head coach. Jim Rutherford then met with the media yesterday afternoon and had a lot of interesting things to say about this situation, about where they go from here, about how surprised and disappointed they are that Rick Tocchet's not going to be back. So in the wake of everything, seeing the statement released, seeing the quotes from Rutherford and Tocchet in the statement, hearing from Rutherford yesterday, your sort of big picture takeaway on what this means for the Vancouver Canucks as an organization going forward now with another item added to their offseason list, which is hire a new head coach. And that item probably vaults right to the top of that list as well.
Well, Batch, there's no real other way to look at this as a punch to the gut. Like, this is a culture setting coach, an individual that the players, you know, in that room respect and some of them love, right? Some of them really respect him as a man, as a coach. Quinn Hughes has talked about him as the best coach he's had. So you can respect the decision by Rick Tocchet, citing personal reasons. We won't get into that because we don't know, and we may never know what the specifics are. But the fact of the matter is, the Canucks lose a head coach that was, you know, trending upwards even. I know last year was a tough year, but the year before that wins the Jack Adams. A lot of players in this league like playing for Rick Tocchet, and now you've got an organization searching for a coach, searching for, you know, additional pieces in their top six. They're searching for their $11.6 million center to come back in a way that he can become an impact piece. And, you know, the biggest impact might be felt, I mentioned it, number 43. What does he think about this? So, you know, finding a coach, you're adding that to the list now, but also it's a very sensitive situation around this team this offseason with all the other changes that may be happening.
Yeah, I think uncertainty is a great way to describe it, and it's probably part of the reason why Rick Tocchet ultimately decided to leave. And look, we don't want to do a ton of speculating here. As you said, you know, Jim Rutherford alluded to the fact that Tocchet wanted to maybe be back east. You know, Tocchet talked about it being a very personal decision for him. So, you know, without talking to the man himself and getting it straight from the horse's mouth, I'm not going to do too much speculating, but let's just try and put ourselves in Rick Tocchet's shoes. You're deciding whether you want to stay on as the head coach of this team. You would have some questions about where things are going. So question number one, is Quinn Hughes going to sign here long term? We don't know the answer to that yet. So there's some uncertainty. Question number two, what's going to happen with Elias Pettersson? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to stay? If he stays, is he going to find his game or is he going to continue to struggle? Again, we don't know. More uncertainty. Thatcher Demko in the crease. Will he be able to stay healthy? Will he be able to get back to Vezina-type form as a goaltender for this team? We don't know. More uncertainty. How are you going to fix the top six? Who are you going to try and bring in to solidify the center ice position now that you've traded JT Miller? You don't know. Uncertainty. And, you know, the organization internally may have an idea of how they want to attack some of these problems and how they want to address them. But ultimately, we're not into the meat of the offseason yet. So you know, even if they had decided, let's say, that they want to trade Pettersson, or they have a specific player that they want to target to bring into the top six, all you can sell your head coach on at this point is, okay, this is the plan. This is how we want to go forward. This is our idea on how we want to make things work. But there is no certainty with that. And couple that with the fact that there are a ton of jobs available in the open market in the National Hockey League right now, and maybe some more will shake loose here as the first round draws to a close in the next few days. You know, I think it's a variety of factors that led to this point, and it's really unfortunate for the Canucks because this was their chosen guy, right? We all remember how messy Bruce Boudreau's exit was, but part of that was because they wanted to have an ideal situation for their chosen head coach to lead this core group forward to come into. And 2.5 years later, we're talking about that chosen head coach walking out the door of his own volition. So it's not a great place for the organization to be in. It's certainly not unsalvageable, but there's a lot of work ahead this offseason, not just to now hire a head coach, but to answer a lot of those questions that I just listed in terms of the uncertainty that, you know, is a part of this organization pretty much at every position, at coach, at your captain, at your goaltending position, in your forward group. There are more questions than answers right now.
Yeah, in having that piece about, you know, having him as your guy, you're bringing him in. Jim Rutherford said, hey, we've only had one coach that we've brought in. That's facts. But, you know, the fact that he's leaving you, and listen, I'm gonna cut it straight. Like, if you get dumped, you get dumped, right? It doesn't feel good. And that's exactly what happened here, whatever the reasons may be. But with the Vancouver Canucks, with four coaches in the last four seasons, you know, there is some soul searching to be done here within the organization to say, okay, previously, yeah, you're not winning. When you don't win, you have to change coaches. You want to maybe set the tone. You want to play a certain style of hockey. You take out Bruce Boudreau. You can understand that, and the team's not successful. But when the team was successful last year, you'd built something. How did it go so wrong where a person that you brought in, to your point, Batch, decides to say, hey, this isn't for me? Is it, you know, what's going on in the organization? Is it the weighing down of the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson situation? Is it, you know, coaching in Canada is tough? I think we can all acknowledge that. I think there's a factor of that too. Like Rick Tocchet, Batch, you talk to more than anybody in this market. You know, I had the pleasure of chatting with him as well. He's very accessible when it comes to chatting with the media. Also, even explaining things further and hanging around the scrums after and explaining things. He's done that. He's more than willing to do that. But that does take a toll. Having to answer for every minute detail in a game, certain markets don't bring that. Certain guys maybe don't necessarily want that one. So when you put all of these things together, you know, the drama this past season, the responsibilities beyond coaching, you know, this is a heavy market where you have to answer a lot. And it's great. I love this market. I think you just got to be careful. Not every single coach is you know, this market is for it, right? So I remember Bruce Boudreau before he coached in Vancouver. He was on Sportsnet 650. I was doing the interview on one of the shows, and he said, oh, I'd love to coach in Canada. Well, how did it go in Vancouver? Not great. And sometimes I think you got to be careful what you wish for, because this is a tough market. So I think there's a lot of things that went into this, but no doubt it requires some maybe looking in the mirror and saying, why is there so much coaching turnover? Losing is one thing, but it does feel like, you know, after this past season, they wanted the guy to stay, and he still decided, it's time for me to go.
And this season definitely wore on Rick Tocchet. And you didn't need to be me who talked to him on a day-to-day basis to see that, right? Like, there were times in the media where he clearly got frustrated, where
the fuse, you know, was a little shorter. Yep.
Yeah, there were some, you know, availabilities that were shorter. He had that one moment midway through the season where he talked about, you know, you guys always ask about Pettersson. And, you know, couple the focus from the outside when things aren't going well in a Canadian market, and in Vancouver specifically, which I think is certainly a unique market as opposed to some other ones in this country. Couple that with all the strife that we know is going on behind closed doors, and we don't know all the details about it, but Jim Rutherford has been pretty open and honest about how the quote-unquote incident that happened early in the year that ultimately led to the JT Miller trade wore on everyone and had an impact on this team. And, you know, it's not just Rick Tocchet that we saw it wear on. We saw it wear on the players as well when we spoke to them. I think it wore on Quinn Hughes throughout the year. He was as frustrated as anybody throughout the season, and certainly towards the end when they weren't going to be making the playoffs. So, you know, there's a big question to be asked here about culture, right? Because Rick Tocchet was a guy that they wanted to come in and build a culture and turn the culture around. And we heard so much about practice habits and about all of these sorts of things. And yes, they had a really good year last year. And I'm not saying this as an indictment of Rick Tocchet, but here we are 2.5 years later, still talking about the culture within the dressing room, within the organization. And that's something that has to be at the top of the list for this management group heading into this offseason. And whether that is down to the players you bring in, whether that's down to the head coach you bring in, whether it's down to any decision you make with personnel within this organization, finding a way to get things on the right track again so that this isn't a place that's hard for guys to come to work, or a place that wears on people like we saw it wear on Rick Tocchet this year. That's very important. And I know a large part of that is out of their control because, as we already talked about, Vancouver is a hockey mad market. The media spotlight is very hot here, although certainly I don't think it's as hot as it has been in past years with the changing landscape in the media industry as a whole. But what you can control is the internal things. And certainly, I think if you talk to Jim Rutherford, if you talk to Patrick Alvin, if you talk to Rick Tocchet, they would say internally things got away from them this year. And that's a big part of the reason we're sitting here talking about the head coach not being a member of the organization anymore.
No doubt. And the elephant in the room is Quinn Hughes' future. And as of the situation right now with Quinn Hughes, we know Jim Rutherford, when he talked about calling Quinn Hughes, he didn't get a call back. I wonder if that has changed now. We maybe need an update. But, you know, Quinn's in New York. He's doing his own thing right now. I believe he was at a Knicks game last night. But one thing that Hughes has to deal with right now is a lot of pressure, right? And I mean, when you talk about being a culture carrier or a culture setter, you know, he's the captain. He's the guy that's got the right mentality. And now with his head coach leaving, there's a lot on his shoulders. And it's not going to stay that way. But if you're an organization and you're saying, hey, there's one guy that does everything right, there's never anything bad to say about him, but he's carrying a lot of this load right now, that's a tough situation to be in. And Batch, we saw Quinn Hughes at the end of season press conference. He looked exhausted. So, you know, this is probably Quinn trying to take a bit of a step back, you know, get out of town for a little bit, try to enjoy himself. But, you know, and there's no doubt it's probably weighing on him, as it feels like a lot of this carrying that load is falling on his shoulders. And, you know, obviously he's going to need help with that, but I think he needs help from his teammates, but also, you're right, the organization.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned his teammates. I think we have to talk about Elias Pettersson here, because
absolutely,
Jim Rutherford kind of, not directly, like he didn't call him out by name, but he said, you know, I'm not talking about Hughes here, but our top players need to be game breakers. They can't just be one of the guys. And, you know, it's not hard to extrapolate that to look at Elias Pettersson. So, you know, ultimately we don't know Pettersson's future either. You know, the news we got at the end of season pressers was that he'd had a good start to the offseason, was still here in Vancouver, was coming into the gym. But at the same time, I think it's also a little bit concerning that Rutherford admitted that part of the conversations they were having with Tocchet when they thought he was going to return were about their head coach flying to Sweden to check in on their star player. Like, if I hear that your head coach has to fly across the world just to check in on this guy to make sure things are going well in the offseason, that to me is a huge indictment of, maybe not of him, but of your belief in him that he can do things the right way this summer and this offseason and come back prepared to play next year. So, you know, that also, I'm sure, is a big factor in why Rick Tocchet ultimately is not going to be here anymore, because if you've got a star player that you need to find a way to motivate, that's very concerning. And you know, maybe that's me reading too much into one little comment from the press conference, and, you know, Pettersson could very well be putting the work in, be recommitting, have a great understanding of what he needs to do to have success. moving forward, but it's another one of those uncertainties, right? Where if they don't move on from Pettersson this summer, if he is still a Vancouver Canuck next year, that's going to be one of those big questions coming into training camp. You know, can the new head coach get through to Pettersson? Can Pettersson find his game again? How does that complement Quinn Hughes so that he doesn't have to carry all of this load? And all of that leads to Quinn Hughes' decision potentially next summer as to whether he's going to stay and commit himself to this organization or not. He needs some help. You know, if you want any hope of convincing him to stay, he needs some help pulling on the rope, and he didn't have much of it this year.
No, he didn't. And with the Elias Pettersson conversation, yeah, you know, that conversation about going to Sweden, it's certainly something that you don't hear often in the hockey world. But I will also say this, too, about Elias Pettersson. You know, when you start, if you're Rick Tocchet, if you're essentially a free agent coach and you're looking across the league at the options you may have, what gives you more certainty? Sure, Quinn Hughes is a heck of a player, the best defenseman in the league, one of the best top two, but you're right. You don't have that certainty he's going to be here for more than 2 years. Then you look at your next best player, Elias Pettersson, and frankly, he's been a shadow of his previous self. So when you start comparing that against other situations that have seven other situations that have popped up in the NHL, whether it's the Rangers, whether it's, you know, potentially what Philly could give. We've talked about Anaheim in the past. I talked about that with Jamie this past week on Canuck Central, but I think Anaheim is a heck of a gig. I don't know if it's for Rick Tocchet, but my point is there's teams that are out there that have, you know, some very good young talent or very good established talent. And when you're ranking those situations with Vancouver, you know, you have to take those into consideration of, all right, who's my top player? Who's my second best player? And how does that situation rank across the league? So with Elias Pettersson, I'm not saying, you know, a lot of this falls on his shoulders, but if you have a Elias Pettersson that is clicking at the highest level possible, you know, this is a tougher decision probably for Rick Tocchet to make. I'm not saying it's a different outcome, but, you know, if you're leaving two bona fide superstars, you think about that twice, three times, maybe four times before you make that call. The way that Pettersson has been for the last 18 months, Batch, it's a slightly easier call to make just to say you're comparing with the rest of the league. So to me, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but if you are a free agent coach, you do have to look elsewhere at other situations. And of course, you know, as Jim Rutherford mentioned, you know, personal reasons can obviously be included into that as well.
Yeah, and you talk about bona fide superstars. I don't think we can call Pettersson that right now. Like,
nope.
He certainly has been in the past, and the organization has talked about having a belief that he can get back there, but you wouldn't blame potential coaching candidates that are looking at this job going, you know, that seems like a project. And, you know, if you're a coach that's at the level where you have options, then you might look elsewhere. Now, as Jim Rutherford rightly pointed out, there's only 32 of these jobs in the world. So, you know, there are some guys that are going to want this opportunity so badly that if they get the chance, they're going to take it. But that sort of shifts the conversation into where the coaching search is going to go and how the organization should manage this coaching search. What kind of qualities do you need in the head coach of this team moving forward? And, you know, there were a few names thrown out there during Rutherford's press availability yesterday. Doesn't sound like Mike Sullivan's going to want to move out west, so you can take his name off the list. Rutherford was very complimentary of Peter Laviolette. He said Manny Malhotra will be on the short list for the work he's done in Abbotsford this year, and obviously he has a tremendous connection to this organization. But when we look at it from the other side of things, right? Like, I agree. I think there are certainly going to be more appealing options out there on the market for head coaches that, you know, are going to have teams chasing after them. And there might be even more appealing options opening up here, as I said, with the first round coming to an end and guys potentially being let go. But from the Canucks side of things, you know, you can't control whether, you know, the top candidates are going to want to come here or not. What you can control is the kind of head coach you do ultimately target and the qualities you think that coach needs to have. So what are some of the things that jump to mind for you on a list of what the hypothetical new head coach, let's say you can build a head coach from the ground up, right? Like, you can say he's got to be experienced. You can say he's got to have this quality. He's got to have that quality. what are the things you're looking for as a guy that can come in and lead this team and try and get things back on the rails?
Yeah, I don't. Experience obviously is something that I think if a coach has it, you never walk away from it, right? You have to take that into consideration. But I think there have been coaches the past year or so, like a Spencer Carberry, that has shown that, hey, if you have, you know, assistant experience, that counts. And as long as you're able to, A, with this team especially right now, Batch, are you able to get buy-in? Are you able to communicate properly? And I start looking at some of the options, especially those younger coaches, those assistants elsewhere. Like, this team needs to feel good. They need to, you know, they're maybe in their feelings a little bit right now, especially when your coach has walked away from the team. So are you need that aspect of, you know, a great communicator that's going to be able to get, you know, solid buy-in. The other thing this team needs, and I still think, doesn't matter who the coach of this team is, I still think defense will be the identity of this team. As they're trying to figure out offense, that's going to require this team to even be more, you know, solid defensively. Keep that structure that Rick Tocchet was able to, you know, create. And for that reason, you know, I think Manny Malhotra will get a strong look to say, hey, you've seen what we've been able to do here. You understand some of the players. Is that a coach that you look at saying experience, maybe not that important at the NHL level in terms of pro head coaching? He has been an assistant, but are you starting to look at, can you communicate well? Do you know these players? And most importantly, can you understand the way we play? And can you kind of fit this team to play a defensive side of hockey, which they're going to need, especially as they get turnover of this offseason, which is going to happen on the NHL roster. It's going to get this team, you know, take them probably some time to find their game. So whether it's a Manny Malhotra or another coach, I think, you know, defensive structure and being a heck of a communicator is going to be at the top of that list.
Yeah, and let's spend a couple of moments talking about Manny here, because, you know, I think his name has been thrown around in the market as sort of like, oh, of course they're going to go to the guy coaching their AHL team within the market that wouldn't command as much money. But there are some positive factors, certainly, to hiring Manny Malhotra. He's going to garner respect from players because of his experience in the league as a player. And that's something that, you know, I was going to call them the current coaching group, but now the past coaching group, because I don't know if we assume that all of the assistants are going to return. But we heard that, you know, Vancouver was a desirable destination for players because you could play under Rick Tocchet, because you could play under Adam Foote. So Manny Malhotra brings an element of that, although obviously less experience behind an NHL bench as a head coach. You're right, he was an assistant in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. He was an assistant under Travis Green as well, and of course was a player and a member of this organization and a key leader for this team when he played in Vancouver. Another thing that Jim Rutherford alluded to, though, yesterday, and I asked him about this, about, you know, the importance of getting a head coach in so that he can help shape the vision, but also getting a head coach in so that you can attract players to come to Vancouver. And he told a story about how when they hired Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh, Sullivan said, okay, I want all these guys coming up from the AHL with me, where he had been coaching their affiliate. And they called those guys up, and those guys fit in great into their lineup, and it allowed them to go on a great run and ultimately win the Stanley Cup. You know, Manny Malhotra has a ton of familiarity with the young players on this team, and we saw a lot of the young players within the organization come up from Abbotsford, especially late in the season, and do really well in the NHL. And we know the vibes are great around the Abbotsford Canucks right now as they head into the second round of the playoffs, and they had that tremendous winning streak. So if you're talking about getting a better feeling around the organization, if you're talking about improving the culture, I think there's a very real reason to look, you know, just into the Fraser Valley and say, what worked there, right? Why was the culture so good with our AHL team? You know, what was it about what happened out there that allowed so many guys to jump up to the NHL level and fit in well? And we could talk about numerous players. Elias Pettersson's at the top of that list. Atu Ratu played some meaningful minutes and scored some goals for this team down the stretch late in the year. And if you want to integrate some of those young players into your roster next year, there is a very real case to be made that Manny Malhotra is an excellent candidate because he can bring that positive culture. And if he brings in some of those young players from Abbotsford into the team next year, then that could help fix some of the things that have ailed the Canucks off the ice this season.
For sure, and I think the vibes do need help for with this team right now. Based on a couple of things, though, you know, looking at Manny's staff in Abbotsford, it's a very young staff. His two lead assistants are Jordan Smith and Harry Mahesh, which does, you know, if you're making that move, I would expect probably a veteran. You know, you need a veteran staff in some way. And part of this is also, is there any carryover from the Rick Tocchet staff, or are you going to be going in a completely different direction? Whether it's a Manny Malhotra coaching the team or any other coach for that matter, when you're doing an internal hire, there's at least a little bit more room for negotiation for keeping some of the assistants. When you're doing an external hire, usually that means you're cleaning house, and you know, the coaches opt to leave sometimes as well because they want to be tied to a head coach that they want to be a part of that staff. So it's a tight-knit group. When it comes to Manny Malhotra, though, yes, I think there's some real strong elements of the type of coach. He's a heck of a communicator. I think his players respect him immensely because he puts in the work. He works very hard. And, you know, he's a young head coach. He commands a lot of respect. And well, that's one of the names. Now, if we start looking at externally, your point about attracting talent, with Mike Sullivan, he had a bit of a reputation already in Pittsburgh. It was a coach that had coached at the NHL level, but had to go back to the AHL to kind of get that head coach reputation back. Obviously, with Manny, it's different. He doesn't have that. He's got another reputation of being an excellent player and an up-and-comer in the coaching ranks. But in attracting players, this is where you need players to help you. And Quinn Hughes is going to be the biggest factor here, right? In Pittsburgh, Sullivan would have had a Sidney Crosby, a Geno Malkin, a Chris Letang. In Vancouver, if you're trying to attract players to a good situation or an improving situation, that's going to fall yet again on the shoulders of Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, you know, as much as you say it falls on the back of Quinn Hughes, we also don't know Quinn Hughes' future. So, yep. You know, is that going to make a lot of sense either? I don't know. It's so hard to kind of figure out which way is up with this organization right now. And I don't envy the management group because all of these are going to be hard decisions. And the margin for error for them this offseason, I think we've talked about this before, is so slim that I'm not saying they can't do it, but it's going to be very difficult and it's going to be fascinating to see how they try. All right, we'll take a break here. On the other side, we're going to get into some of the other names that could be considered or people that you want the Canucks to go after to replace Rick Tocchet, as we had a bunch of submissions writing in, giving your suggestions, giving your thoughts on Rick Tocchet leaving and not returning as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. So we'll hear from you and we'll talk through where things might be headed for this organization going forward. You're listening to In the Booth on your official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to In the Booth on Sportsnet 650, your official home of the Canucks. Brendan Batchelor and Randeep Janda with you. An emergency edition of the show. We weren't planning to be back this quickly, but with Rick Tocchet leaving the organization, we are here chatting Canucks once again. And we're going to get into some of your thoughts on Rick Tocchet leaving, on who could replace him, on who you would like to see replace him coming up in just a moment. But before that, Randeep, we have to remind everyone that In the Booth is brought to you by Bells and Whistles.
Catch all the action, hockey, football, soccer, and more with Happy Hour Pints for $6.75, $32.96 Fraser Street, just off Kingsway, right in the Fraser Hood. And Batch, just when we thought that we were out, they pull us right back in with some Canucks news. And it's been an interesting episode thus far. Obviously, a lot of, I think, deep discussions about the future of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you missed the first segment and you're listening on the radio, it does live as a podcast as well. So you can download it on the Canucks Central podcast feed. You want to subscribe to that as well. You get the daily show with Sat and Reach. You get our podcasts, if there are any more emergency podcasts to do over the summer. And I'm expecting it to be an eventful offseason, so I'm sure we'll be back. Hey, it might be within 10 days, knowing the way things have gone to start here. But yeah, make sure to subscribe to the Canucks Central podcast, to all of our Sportsnet 650 podcasts, so that when Canucks news breaks, you can be up to date with the latest coverage. So I put out a call on Twitter yesterday asking for your thoughts on Tocchet leaving and on who the Canucks should bring in to replace him. So let's go through some of the thoughts of our listeners here, Randeep. And we were talking about Manny Malhotra before the break. So let's go with Chris here, who says they'll give it to Manny because he'll be the cheapest option, though they'll claim it's because of his relationship with the younger core. At the end of the day, this is a sad, ugly look at ownership yet again failing. And we talked about Manny just before the break, so let's kind of wrap up our conversation on him. You know, ultimately, it's going to be interesting to see where this organization pivots because, you know, as has been reported here, it seems like their offer for Rick Tocchet did rise both in dollar amount and in term towards the end of their negotiations. So, you know, if they go to Manny Malhotra, I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that they would just be looking at the cheapest option. And, you know, as much as Chris is kind of critical of the thought about him having a relationship with some of the younger players, you know, I mentioned it before the break, Abbotsford seems like a pretty good place to have been this season. Certainly a lot more fun than it was in Vancouver with the NHL team, and vibes are going to be important here. So whether Manny Malhotra is the right guy for the job or not, whether he's a guy that can bring those positive vibes with him or not, is something that management's going to have to go through. But I don't necessarily think that the hiring of Manny Malhotra for this job would just be them looking at the cheapest option and that's it, because they were certainly willing to pay Rick Tocchet at the end.
Well, one thing we need to acknowledge, if tier one is Rick Tocchet and Mike Sullivan as coaching free agents, we know they're not getting Rick Tocchet. Mike Sullivan, according to Jim Rutherford, is going to stay out east. Then you have to get into tier two and you have to start thinking a little creatively, because there are not any surefire, in my opinion, coaching options out there. Like Peter Laviolette, sure, but it's been, you know, there's some stuff in regards to his defensive structure we saw this year that poses some real questions, right? Like with Laviolette, he's usually got a shelf life of about 2 years. He's a hard-nosed coach, and in today's day and age, they don't have the same shelf life. So even though he's had success, you have to consider, you know, what is that tier two right now? And I think Manny Malhotra is a part of that tier two. So this is not about the cheaper option. It's, are you looking at that coaching gig differently? Do you go for the younger coach? Do you go for the mid-career? Or do you go for, you know, we can be unkind when we say this, but the retread or the experienced coach? So I think, you know, other teams have gone maybe the inexperienced, but they're extremely optimistic on the future. And I'm going to say his name again, Spencer Carberry. Like, he should win the Jack Adams this year for a reason. There's going to be a lot of executives across the league looking around saying, hey, that guy is the type of coach we want. He can relate to his players. He's young and he can communicate effectively. So I don't think this is looking at it in a dismissive way at all. Manny Malhotra has, you know, done a heck of a job in Abbotsford, and he should be on that short list because he's already internal. But, you know, there is a school of thought to say you go for the younger coach, you go for the guy that maybe doesn't have the experience, but may have a skill set some of these older coaches don't have.
Another thing that we could expect from this management group as well is someone that they've had a connection with in the past, because Rick Tocchet was that, right? Like, the only coaching hire they've made was a guy that worked under them in Pittsburgh. And I've seen Mike Vellucci's name floating around a little bit. I think Elliot Friedman has mentioned that as a possible candidate. And for those who don't know, Vellucci was the head coach of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the AHL. He was hired in 2019 by the Pittsburgh Penguins for that role, and then in 2020 moved up to the NHL bench as an assistant coach with the Penguins. So, you know, he'd also coached with Charlotte in the AHL in the past. So, you know, if you want to say, okay, well, look at some of the recent hires for this organization. Travis Green, internal hire, was with the AHL team. Maybe you look at Manny Malhotra, although that was certainly a different management group that made that decision. And then you look at this management group and the way they have chosen to go about things. And they brought in Rick Tocchet, who worked under them in Pittsburgh. They clearly are loyal to people that they have worked with in the past. They brought in Sergei Gonchar in that same kind of mold as well. So you have to wonder about Mike Vellucci, who is 58. So he's not a young coach by any means, but he's someone that has experience as the head coach in the AHL. He has experience on NHL benches as well as an assistant. So even though he's not young, there are some of the same things that we talk about with Spencer Carberry there. And I think he would have to be considered a strong candidate as well.
Yeah, that was a name that we had heard going back to before Rick Tocchet was hired as well, where, you know, that connection to Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin, having some success. He wasn't a part of the staff that won the Stanley Cup, but joined about 4 years later, and just being that assistant at the NHL level for that long. So certainly a name, but when you start looking at that age range, I think there's a lot of qualified assistants that deserve a bit of a look. And, you know, I'm looking at Kirk Muller. This is a veteran coach that has been around for a while. Obviously, we know about his playing days, winning the cup with the Montreal Canadiens, but he's been an assistant coach for the Canadiens. He's been an assistant coach most recently with the Flames and currently with the Capitals. And he did have a head coaching stint about, you know, 10, 12 years ago with the Carolina Hurricanes. So if you're looking for an individual that has a great reputation as an assistant, you're looking for somebody that's been behind the wheel before, kind of like that Mike Vellucci element where, sure, Vellucci is more of a veteran presence at the assistant level. Kirk Muller is very much the same age range as well. And from everything you hear, he's kind of been linked to a lot of head coaching jobs over the last 2 or 3 years. That's another individual I look at to say, if you're trying to go for maybe a second stint as a head coach or an experienced coach, are you trying to get one of the lead assistants in the game right now?
Yeah, and, you know, let's go through some other names here, because I saw that Play Now already has odds out on who could be the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And Manny Malhotra, one of the leaders in terms of the odds, no surprise there after Rutherford name-checked him at the press conference yesterday. I was surprised to see Jay Woodcroft right at the top of this list as well, though, tied with Malhotra for the best odds to be the head coach of the Canucks. And of course, Woodcroft was the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers prior to Chris Knobloch. Things didn't go well for him there, and he hasn't been back in a head coaching role since. You know, I'm interested about Jay Woodcroft and about how he would fit as kind of that young head coach mold that we're kind of talking about, but a guy that also has experience as an NHL head coach as well, which guys like Malhotra and Vellucci don't, as some of the other names that we've brought up.
Yeah, I think with Jay Woodcroft, one area that you kind of have to look at here was he was highly touted coming out of Bakersfield. After being an assistant for the Edmonton Oilers for 3 years, he got the head coaching gig, won the Calder Cup. But the NHL experience, you know, over the last couple of years, or over 2 years, of course, I think it can, you know, shock a lot of coaches as well, especially a high-pressure situation like Edmonton. Vancouver would be no less. So the second head coaching stint in the NHL, how have you tweaked the way you communicate? How have you tweaked the way that you know, communicate to players? I think that's going to be something with Woodcroft to certainly keep an eye on, whether he would land in Vancouver or elsewhere, of, you know, that communication style, the way that he approaches the game. Usually coaches, after their first gig, tweak a little bit. They make some changes, as you do in life with any gig you have. So I think with Woodcroft, an interesting name out there. He's going to get back into the head coaching ranks at some point, you would imagine. But that's an interesting name that I'd heard, but I start to wonder where, yeah, he gives you NHL credibility right off the bat, but he's not necessarily the most experienced person at the NHL level. You know, 2 seasons under his head coaching resume. So not the most experience of the group that is being potentially linked to Vancouver.
Yeah, and, you know, that ties into a question from Woodrow, the eligible bachelor, who says, with the front office's win-now mentality, should the Canucks consider hiring an experienced NHL coach? And, you know, experience, I think, might be important. You know, ultimately, they're going to hire the guy that they think is the right fit for the group of players and the vision they have and the style they want to play as well, which you brought up in terms of trying to build on some of the good things this team has done defensively. There is certainly a school of thought that you would want experience. You would want a guy that has seen things before. And, you know, you bring up Jay Woodcroft, who has had NHL head coaching experience, and how guys often change their approach and learn things about the way things went wrong in their first position and alter that in their second position. I think Travis Green's another good example of that, right? Like, things ultimately went sour with him in Vancouver, and then he ended up back on the bench in New Jersey as Lindy Ruff's second in command, and then ultimately took over as the interim head coach there. But now in his second head coaching role full time, he's pushing a lot of the right buttons with a young Ottawa Senators team that, you know, has had a great season, and we'll see what they do in terms of trying to make Leafs fans as nervous as they possibly can the rest of this week. But, you know, I think there's a maturity and a learning of lessons that comes with having had some NHL experience. I'm not saying you need to go and hire like the most experienced guy that you can find out there on the open market, but there is certainly something to be said for having some NHL experience as a head coach being an important thing with a core group that might be a little bit fragile right now.
What makes this conversation really interesting, Batch, is the Elias Pettersson factor, right? There are some veteran head coaches that are looking for gigs. And, you know, Peter Laviolette, as I mentioned, he's known to be a hard-nosed coach. We've seen on that same list you were referencing a Gerard Gallant name popping up, and he hasn't coached for 2 years. But, you know, these are intense coaches. And from what we heard of Rick Tocchet and from what we were able to talk to him about, you know, he was being direct with Elias Pettersson, but there's also a level of sensitivity you have to have in your approach when you're dealing with Elias Pettersson. You're trying to remodel a game, you're trying to appeal to a player, and you just can't be angry all the time. You have to appeal to them on a human level. Who is that coach that obviously is going to be able to get the most out of this team? But if Elias Pettersson is on this team, how do you get more out of him? And that's why I start looking at some of those mid-career guys. Like Travis Green was an individual is trying to get more of Elias Pettersson as well. But, you know, having the patience to deal with players that are still trying to sort it out, trying to get Elias Pettersson to be a game breaker, I think that's going to be vitally important here, especially if Pettersson is still on this team beyond July 1st. If you're trying to turn this team around, you're going to need Elias Pettersson to be that 1C. So, you know, I think Woodcroft might be along those lines where you're saying kind of a new age coach, but has NHL experience. Manny Malhotra, obviously a new age coach, would be able to probably communicate very directly, but do in a way that is, you know, I think more approachable to the next generation. Some of these veterans that we talk about, whether it's a Laviolette, some of the Gerard Gallants that played in an era where it was very different, but definitely even coached in an era that was a lot more one-way conversation. The Elias Pettersson question to me is a huge one when you're looking at the next hire, because you're going to have to communicate differently to get to this player.
And bringing up Pettersson in this conversation is important, because that's going to be one of the key things that this coach has to figure out. You're right, assuming that Pettersson is still here next season, is how to get through to him, how to get the most out of him. And I don't know if Justin in East Van is joking with this suggestion, but he says, should the Canucks hire Sam Hallam as their next head coach? And, you know, I know on our station we always joke about Sam Hallam and the way his name sounds like the Black Betty song, but he's the head coach of Team Sweden. And, you know, whether it's Sam Hallam specifically or not, would there be a benefit to bringing in a Swedish coach who might have a greater understanding of the culture that Elias Pettersson has come from, some of the issues he might be facing transitioning to North America? You know, let's be honest, there's a lot of Swedes and European players within this organization right now. You know, that's something that could certainly be considered by this management group as they look forward as well. And really, when I look at the list of names on that Play Now list that I mentioned, talking about, you know, trying to set the odds, if I'm not mistaken, every single name on this list is North American, and there isn't a tremendous track record of European head coaches having a ton of success in the NHL, but you do wonder if someone that has a greater understanding of Elias Pettersson's background might be able to get through to him specifically more effectively than certainly, as you mentioned, a veteran head coach who might have coached in a different era and have more of an antiquated style of speaking to their players.
Well, this is the tricky thing about Elias Pettersson's situation, is you want him to lean into the style that you want to play. But at the same time, how much do you cater to one single individual, right? Do you make a coaching hire not solely based on Elias Pettersson? Obviously, there has to be other merits to the coach, but you're kind of catering to the star in this regard too. So with Sam Hallam, based on a report last month, he's moving to Switzerland for the Switzerland's National League in 2026. So whether there's an out there, whether there is a another way to get that deal done, or just in theory, a different coach, maybe a different Swedish coach. We've heard of it going back to Rickard Grönberg. That didn't happen. Sam Hallam's name has been up there. But I think you have to be careful with the team aspect here. Yes, you want your player to be effective at a very high level. You need to appeal to him, but you need him to also buy into the team aspect here, Batch. So I think based on merit, it's certainly a name that you'd look at. But if you're trying to say it's got to be, you know, this might be the best way to reach Elias Pettersson, I think with that, like, you need Pettersson to kind of come towards you and to the team and play that team game and be a complete player. So I don't know how I feel about that in a team dynamic. I'd probably be on the opposite side saying get the best coach possible, whether they can relate culturally or not, because that's going to be something that I think is going to be extremely vital to the rest of the team too. They need to make sure that they all believe in this coach, not just one individual.
Yeah, and another thing I think we have to think about, and whether this would need to be a Swedish or European coach or not, and I don't think it would be, is something Jim Rutherford alluded to yesterday, which is they're going to need to be someone that has a good relationship with Patrick Alvin. And we heard all the time, and I don't think this was just lip service, even though Rick Tocchet has left, that Alvin and Tocchet had a great relationship, were, you know, communicating constantly, were on the same page about things. And that's going to be part of what Alvin has to try and, you know, recognize as they embark on this coaching search, is who is someone that is going to fit not just the style they want to play, their vision for the organization, but is going to mesh well with him so that they can have a strong relationship that allows them to be aligned. Because, you know, alignment, I think, is a very important thing to talk about here. As we sort of wrap up the show here, and I think it's a good thing to finish on, is that was one of the big talking points when Rick Tocchet arrived, was we have alignment now. We have our head coach. He thinks in the same way that we do, whether that's Jim Rutherford or Patrick Alvin or the head coach. They were all aligned. They all were on the same page. That's something that's going to be important going forward too, regardless of the background of this head coach, is that the organization is aligned again and that they don't have a different vision of how they want to go about things from president to general manager and ultimately to the new head coach.
Absolutely. And, you know, with a management group that does require some answers right now, I think obviously in this market, there's going to be questions. There's going to be an element of panic of what do you do next? But having that alignment, having somebody that is your guy yet again, that you're bringing in to say, okay, we need you to help to turn this around. You need that, because this management group, and I think the organization as a whole, they're not the most confident right now. And I think we picked that up in Jim Rutherford's presser as well. But you need to bring that, because you need to be the steady hand. That's what the players demand. That's what the fan base demands. So the next step will be a big one for this organization.
And that does it for our emergency edition of In the Booth in the wake of Rick Tocchet leaving the Canucks organization. So we'll wait and see if any other news breaks in the coming weeks. We will be ready and waiting to jump back on the microphone and record an emergency podcast if we need to. But for now, Randy, we'll say goodbye to the listeners again, and we'll see when we speak to them when big Canucks news breaks. And again, it might not happen right away, but we do expect this to be a busy offseason.
We said that last time, and here we're back within a week, but you never know. You never know with this team. There's it's going to be in a dramatic, maybe eventful offseason, so we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
This has been In the Booth, and make sure to keep it locked right here for all the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and the Stanley Cup playoffs on your official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.